What a wonderful blessing it is to be reminded in song, and hopefully you've been able to sing along with us at home, as it's a wonderful opportunity to lift up your praise to God in your home. Well, we thank you for tuning in once again tonight, and I'd encourage you to take your Bibles now and turn them to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we'll dive right back into the thought that God brought us to this morning as we were looking at this idea all day today I introduced to you, and that is rest for your souls. And I want to take some time tonight and just unpack a little bit more of this, and then we'll hopefully have a wonderful time here at the end just to focus on what God desires and offers to us as we looked at and began looking at this morning. Matthew chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in verse number 28, and we'll read just a couple verses this evening, and then we'll share this thought with you tonight. Matthew 11, verse 28, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's ask God now to speak to our hearts and pray. I realize I forgot to pray earlier in the service. And ask God to speak to us and use this service to bring us to a point of resting in Him more than we were when this day began. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this passage of Scripture and the one that we looked at this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand a little better at the end of this day what it means to find rest in our souls as we come to you. Thank you for our church family and everyone who's able to tune in and the live feed right now. Lord, I pray that you would bless everyone where they are, that you would speak to their hearts tonight. Lord, I cannot do the work that is needed in the lives of one individual, let alone all those who are watching. But Lord, I'm thankful that you chose me tonight, and I pray for your blessings. I pray for your help. I pray for your power. And Lord, I pray you'd use this thought that you've brought us to. I do pray for our church and for our pastor in particular tonight and all and others who are battling with COVID. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them and raise them up. And you would give them healing and that it would be a speedy recovery. And Lord, I pray you'd protect our church and give us wisdom in the days to come and continue to guide us as we seek not only to be able to have services, but to make a difference in our community for the gospel and for the glory of Jesus Christ and the glory of our God. I pray you'd bless this night one more time, I ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, this morning I made this statement to you that Sabbath is not about a day. It's about a need. And that was the message that Jesus emphasized as he spoke to the Pharisees as we read this morning. And then tonight I wanted to take that thought and I wanted to take it a little bit further, because what grows out of that confrontation is a consideration of what true rest then must be. We saw this morning the Sabbath challenge. We saw the challenge offered by the Pharisees and then the challenge that Jesus gave back to them because of their misinterpretation of what the Sabbath really was. And then we saw Jesus not just challenge their thinking, but try to clarify their perspective. He gave us some baseline thoughts for the principle of what true Sabbath rest is all about. He showed us not all of the nuances, but what we saw in Mark chapter number 2 is we saw the foundation, the principle on which all other things grow. So we saw the Sabbath challenged. We saw the Sabbath clarified. And tonight, I want to share the Sabbath continued. Because all that I shared this morning, and while I endeavored to try to give it some practical application, a lot of it would have been the backdrop, the background on which all the other things need to be built. And so tonight I want to help you to understand how God expects us to continue the Sabbath today. You might say, well, Brother Daniel, do you mean we're supposed to observe the Sabbath like they did in the Old Testament, or even the Pharisees did. If you listened to the message this morning, I think you would know that the answer to that question would certainly be no. We're not supposed to continue the Sabbath observance in the way that they did, because by and large, they missed the idea. The Sabbath was never meant to be a ritualistic practice. It was meant to be something that they did to meet the need for rest in their lives. And so Jesus actually communicates more about the concept of rest, because that's what Sabbath truly is to us, so that we can understand it. You see, Jesus began to teach that true rest would never be found in a ritual, but rather that true rest is found in a right relationship with Him. And tonight we are going to see how it is that Jesus expects for you and I to live a life of continued Sabbath or continued rest. Now, I hope you understand that that does not mean that there is no work to be done, and that we're all just supposed to buy a lazy boy tomorrow and sit down on our lazy boy and just kind of enjoy the rest of life. Because I'll tell you this, if you sit around and do nothing, you will find very little true rest. I said this morning, and I'll say it near the end of the message tonight, but I want to remind you that true rest is found as we, or true rest is truly a divine activity. When we enter into a right relationship with God, we find God at work, and we labor with God, and there is a rest in God, even in the midst of labor, that God intends for us to find tonight. And So tonight, I wanted to take you to Matthew chapter 11. But before I call our attention back to the contents of the verses that we just read, I want you to notice something. If you would, look at your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 says, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Does that sound familiar to you? That's the parallel passage to Mark chapter number 2, verse 23 and following that we read this morning. So what we're doing tonight is we're actually backing up a little bit. We're actually seeing what Jesus said right before this moment came. It says at the beginning, at that time, in that same period of time, Jesus had recently been teaching to the people of his day, and he had shared the verses that we just read. And then he goes on from that, and it is no accident that presented in the book of Matthew is given this that statement becomes the foundation for the clarification. And so instead of starting there, we're going to end where Christ began. Because you realize the Bible, these chapter divisions, they weren't there when it was written. And this is all one continuous message that's being shared for us today. And so what can we learn from this passage? We've studied a little bit. We've looked at the contents of Mark chapter 2, and now we're coming back to Matthew chapter 11, and we want to understand, okay, I understand that Sabbath is meant to meet a need and that we're supposed to rest, and that was always God's intention, but how can I rest in this life? Because you know, Brother Daniel, that there's not a lot of rest going on around us. Yeah, it's a holiday week, and a lot of us maybe are going to take some time off, and we're going to have some time with family maybe, or you have some plans as to some things that you're going to do, or maybe some things that you're not going to do. But you might say, but except for these few moments throughout my life and throughout the year, life is not that restful. So how are we supposed to rest? What is it that God expects? Or let me put it this way, what is it that God offers so that we can find rest for our souls tonight? Well, I said this morning when we came to the end of the passage that we looked at this morning, we came to that statement that Jesus made. He said, the Son of Man is Lord also even of the Sabbath. And I told you that Jesus is the person of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the center point of what rest is supposed to be all about. So as we look at this idea of the continuation of Sabbath in our lives, or true rest in our lives, we, number one, must understand who the person of the Sabbath is, what Jesus himself teaches us about finding rest in the day-to-day. Because Jesus knew that we would have a problem with this. God knew that we would have a problem with this. That's why the first full day of man's life and existence on this earth was a day of rest. That's why God commanded his people to have a day of rest, and not just one, but one each week, and then several special Sabbaths throughout the year. God knew we would need to rest, and Jesus knew that this would be a problem as well. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me." You see, he knew that what people really needed was not to build a cabin somewhere out in the woods, just get away from it all. It was not to buy a boat so you could just get out on the water and no one could bother you, and you probably don't have that good of cell service, so no one even knows where you're at. It's just, you know, you're alone. It's not you have to buy a vacation home somewhere and be able to get away, or you need to plan this trip or go on that vacation or have this room in your house. None of those things. Jesus said, "Come unto me." The very place we need to begin is we need to look to Jesus. And what I see as we look at the person of rest is we see that Jesus exemplified rest in his life. You know what? You never find Jesus worried or in a hurry. And yet, Jesus was constantly getting things done and impacting lives and doing things that if we were just given to the opportunity, if we want to put it that way, and I guess it would be the opportunity to be one of the disciples for a week, I would say we would come through the end of that week and we would just say, "Whew! I need a break." I mean, from one place to the next, and we could go to Mark chapter number 1 and 2. I mentioned a little bit of it this morning, but as you go through that book, you find that on one day, Jesus will go and he'll heal someone, then he'll move from there and he'll teach, and then from there, he'll go to someone else's house and he'll heal someone else, and then on from there, and on from there, and on from there, just constantly doing something one after another, but Jesus is never hurried. He's never pressured. As you look at the life of Christ, except for the pressure of the burden and weight of the responsibility that he had to die for our sins, you never find Jesus in the way that most of us approach a busy week. I know what happens when I have a lot to do. I try to block everybody out. I get short with people. I just say, I close my office door, and I'm just like, all right, I got to get this stuff done. There's a lot going on, and everything just changed, you know, yesterday, and so I just got to block out the world, and I know how I get. And I know probably that's how you get. But this is how Jesus gets. Mark chapter number 1, verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 39, I referenced and sang a song this morning based on this passage. Notice not the disciples, but their master in this passage. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" But what was he doing? Sleeping. Jesus rested. He was not worried. He was not hurried. He was not pressured. He would take time to get apart. Not just get apart, like I said, not just get a cabin somewhere, get alone somewhere. Yeah, he got alone, you know, away from people, but the focus was, and there prayed. He fellowshipped with his Father, and if Jesus took time to fellowship with the Father, I think we need to as well. And so we see he exemplified rest in his life. And I could say so much more about the way that Jesus went through life as the God-man here on this earth. And it's not sufficient to say, well, he was God, so obviously he would do all those things. Jesus, in a very unique way, took on flesh and endured the same pressures, the same struggles. He got hungry. He got thirsty. His body got tired. He endured those same things. He could only be in one place at a time in the physical sense. And so he had all those things. He had all the disciples and all of their bickering and their misunderstandings and all the things that he dealt with that we often deal with as well. And yet, we find moments like that in his life again and again and again. He exemplified rest. That is crucial for us to understand. But he does not just exemplify rest for us in his life. He offers rest to us as the Lord. And I mentioned this, and I want to develop it a little bit more. Why is it so significant that Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath? Well, I want to read you a few verses. If you have your Bible still there, open in front of you, turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and I guess there's maybe many who would make a statement similar to that. But why is it significant that Jesus offers to us rest as the Lord of rest? Well, notice what Isaiah 40 verse 25 and following says. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I believe many times we forget that as Jesus offers to us as the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus stands there as the God of the universe and says, if you want rest, I can give it. Because I created this world. I created all of these things. There is nothing beyond my power. There is nothing beyond my strength. There is nothing beyond my knowledge to understand, my wisdom, my guidance to correct. There is nothing that exceeds me. Come unto me. You want rest tonight? Focus your attention on Jesus Christ, the one who is speaking in this passage. There was so much more behind these statements that from the human eye, no one those days when Jesus made these statements had any idea what was being offered. And I believe when I read those passages, I often miss it as well. I miss the fact that when he says that I am weak and heavy laden and he can give me rest, I can take his yoke on me, I miss the depth of what that really means. And I live so many days in my life trying in my own strength to accomplish a work that I will never accomplish. And God looks down at me and says, if you would just look to me, I would help you. We must remember, if we want to continue the Sabbath, if we want to continue in a life of rest, we must look to God. We must look to Jesus Christ. You know, when the Old Testament practices were those that dominated the lives of the believers of God, it's interesting to note that they ended their week with rest. It was the last day of the week, the seventh day. But when Jesus came and fulfilled the concepts that were the seed plot had been planted in the law of God, and Jesus rose from the dead, offering the truest rest that you could ever receive, because the fact of the matter is, you will never have rest without Jesus. As I prayed this morning, you will never have rest in this life if you do not have Jesus in your heart, if you've never put your faith in his salvation from your sins, because your sin will continually be a burden. But Jesus offered, and when Jesus rose from the dead, he offered a complete and perfect rest. And now today, the by and large, the regular day that we gather together and we observe these things is the day that we are in right now, Sunday. We begin this with our day of rest, even though Sunday and the Old Testament Sabbath are not the same thing. We begin with rest. And we go from there. So we shifted our focus from that end of the week. I got all the way through to the beginning. We look to him first, and the rest of it will follow. We must learn to look to the Lord. That is the person of the Sabbath. And then the second part of continuing rest in our lives is the practice. And what I want to do over the next few minutes of time as we come near to the end of this message is I just want to share with you four primary ways, though there's very many nuances to these different things I'll share with you over the next few minutes, four primary ways to practice Sabbath rest in your life. We've looked at the concept. We understand that it's always been God's intention for us to rest. Now we've taken some time this evening and we've looked at the person to whom we must turn if we're going to find rest in our lives. But then, what are some things I can do? How is it that I can go through life? How is it that I can exist in a state of rest? Because that's what I believe God would intend for all of us. Not just to have a time of rest, not just to have a place or even a day, but to live in a state of rest all the time. That sounds nice, doesn't it? That's what God wants for you. So how can we do it? Number one. Receive his gift of rest. Notice what it says in this passage. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice, first of all, that Jesus is giving us, he extends an invitation. He offers us a gift. Sabbath is primarily a gift to man to meet a need that he has. And the way that we receive the gift is not, we use this illustration a lot of times to illustrate salvation, but we'll say to someone that God offers to you eternal life, and it's a gift. It's not something that you earn. If I wanted to take this pen was given to me by a dear friend, and they, if I wanted to give this to you, but think about when they gave this to me, and they gave me this pen, and they said to me, hey, I want to give this pen to you. You know what I had to do to make this my pen? Just take it. Now, we say that in salvation, and that is exactly right. But I want to remind you that it's not just true. It's not just true of salvation, because when God says, come and I will give you rest, he's offering you a gift. And you must come, and by faith, just like you receive Christ into your life by faith, you must come and you must by faith acknowledge the fact that God is offering you something that you could never get by yourself. Just like salvation, we often try to work. Man is often trying to add works to make it so that they can have righteousness before God, and they labor. And it is not until they realize there's nothing I can do, I must by faith receive, that they receive salvation, that we receive salvation. And Christ today says, first of all, remember, rest is a gift that I give. And how do you receive a gift like that? Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 gives us some guidance. It says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We rest, we receive this gift by trusting in the Lord. We trust by receiving what he offers, and by turning over our own attempts, a great weight is lifted when you realize you don't have to get it all done yourself. You must trust God at the very heart level. A lot of this that we've talked about up until this point would come to pass in this one practical moment. It's the point of acknowledgement. It's to say, I know that God is God, and I am in need of what he offers. I know that I am not that I am finite, and that God is infinite. I know I am not an inexhaustible resource, but I know that he is, and I must choose in this moment by faith to receive in my heart rest. Because what I want you to remember is this message is not entitled rest for your physical body. It's rest for your soul. You see, there will be times when you are tired, that you have worked the works of God. Jesus said that I work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night, we must work the works of him that has sent us while it is day, for the night cometh where no man shall work. And Jesus was busy. And there will be times when you are busy in the purpose that God has created you for, you will be physically exhausted. But even in those times, you can be at rest in your soul. And that you appropriate, that you receive by faith, by trusting and saying, God, even in this moment, I know that you can help me to be at rest in you. So we must, number one, receive his gift. Number two, we must run with patience. We as human beings are not very good at being patient. I when I have a job to get done, I want to get it done. I want to get it done fast. Yes, I want to get it done well. But oftentimes I just am so consumed by the job that needs to be done, and we can get so focused on it. But what God calls us to do as we labor in him is he calls us to labor patiently. You know, when you are patient, you are trusting someone else with the timetable. And that's a key as we live our lives for God. There will be things to do. But when things don't go the way you expected or as fast as you had hoped, don't let that rob you of your rest. Remember, I'm supposed to be patient. Though Isaiah 40 once again said that those that wait upon the Lord, those He will renew their strength. So we must be patient. We must run with patience, and we do that by seeing His purpose. We can run with patience when we remember that God has a reason for how fast or how slow things are going. We can run with patience when we realize that God knew we would be in online services today, whatever the date is today, I can't remember, November 22nd. He knew we were going to be online last week when I was telling you right now we would be doing the Lord's Supper. It was Wednesday night. If you remember what happened Wednesday night, none of us had any idea. And I got up Wednesday night, and I started the service with the most exciting part of the whole entire service, the announcements. You remember that statement? And we were expecting, I said, hey, this Sunday we're looking forward to the Lord's Supper. We're going to have a great time. And then the following Tuesday we're going to have our praise service, and it's going to be great. We're looking forward to that. God knew. I certainly didn't. And you find rest when you realize He has a purpose in why things are happening the way they're happening. We must run with patience by seeing His purpose. We must run with patience by submitting to His pace. True service does not involve feverish anxiety, restless activity, constant pressure, endless deadlines, and exhausting haste. True, there is work to be done. There are things to be accomplished for God. But all acceptable service results or grows out of our rest in Him by working alongside of Him at the pace that He sets. When you and I get so wrapped up in all that we have to do, and so convinced that if we don't get this done then, if we don't check that off then, if we don't get to that place or see that arrive in this place, not maybe physically, but in a sense of maybe status or position or accomplishment. We get so focused on all of these things, and we got to do it. We got to get there. We got to get it done at our pace. This is the timeline that I have set. But when we run alongside God, God does not match our pace. We are supposed to match His. So we see His purpose. We submit to His pace. We have a lot of things that we desire to do as a church. We talk on staff about the things that God has for us ahead, and we've been making plans. You know what we're going to do after church tonight? Right, we told you a second ago we were going to do the Lord's Supper during the service. We were going to have a teacher's meeting tonight. You may not even know that. We were going to tell you about it all day today. So you'd come and you'd gather right here. And we were going to talk about Gift Sunday. Now, hopefully we'll still be able to tell you those things. We'll still be able to run those things out. But I'm just saying, what if it doesn't happen the way we think? What if we don't get that done when we thought? Submit to His pace. I have to let go of my expectations when I serve God. I have to remember that it's His expectations that are my goal. And sometimes it just takes a while for Him to for him to get to the point of knowing it's time for me to know. Submit to His pace. And this one goes right along with that. We must run, we must receive His gift, we must run with patience, and we must release our control. It has been said that the illusion of control will only develop more anxiety in your life. We think a lot of times we have it all under wraps. We got that plan, it's going to work out just this way, and this goes, like I said, just along with what I was saying, so I won't stay here long, but this is specifically what I want you to remember is you and I are not in control, and we must learn to release control because we never had it in the first place. The illusion of control says, I know what 2020 is going to look like. You know what? Last week in Sunday school, I started a short two-week series on detours in life, and we focused in Sunday school on the story of Joseph, and I was going to focus today on my two-week series, and how to finish that out, how to practically follow the detours in life. But guess what? Detour, no Sunday school. All right? I have no control over those things. We have fooled ourselves in our American mindset and all of our ability to plan all these strategic plans and all these life goals, and we're going to get here, we're going to go there, and I'm not going to get sick because of vacation coming up, and I'm not going to this, and I'm going to do there, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this, all these things, and we think we got it all together. We have all these devices, we have all these things that can accomplish so much for us, and God looks down at mankind today, and you know who is ultimately in control? Who knew what 2020 would look like before it started? Surely wasn't us. But if we think we have to have it under control, we will have no rest. If you think you have to know what's going to happen, you're going to mitigate all of the possible negatives, You'll never rest, ever. But God says, if you want rest, release your control. Realize who is control, in control. And then this last thing I want has several things underneath it to give you some ideas for how you can practically rest in your life. We must receive the gift. We must run with patience. We must be careful to release the illusion of control. And then we must refill our lives. How do we refill? How do we come to the point of saying, okay, you know what, if I go for, there are times in my life I'm supposed to go. But I cannot go forever. I am not the Energizer Bunny. And the Energizer Bunny, you still have to buy packs of those batteries, you know, because not one is not enough. I must refill. I must recharge. I must come to a point of doing some things in my life that will put back in that which is taken out. So, number one, underneath, refill your life. These are just a few ways to do that. Number one, cultivate daily rest. This is very practical. Time of real quiet before God daily will go a long way in helping you to approach the rest of your day with rest in your day. You must take time to get alone with God every single day. And I don't say this as a ritualistic practice. I do not mean that you and I must do this, and we must get, you know, must have that hour period of time or whatever you could say there. That's when you veer onto the wrong side of this. But I challenge you to remember the fact that if you're going to live with rest that God can give, you must actually rest in God every day. And it's very important and very helpful to take specific moments to rest, to cultivate that, to refill. Listen to the attitude of the psalmists. Psalm 22:2 says, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent," all throughout the day. Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Psalm 69:16, "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Psalm 88:13, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee." Psalm 119:147, "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word." Psalm 130, verse 6, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And then in Isaiah 26:9, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." And all that just to say and to show the picture that there must be a continual seeking. But I say this, every day, specifically, make sure you're getting alone with the one who gives you rest. Come to him daily. Cultivate daily rest. Commit to regular breaks, not just every day. You know, God built us in such a way that we have to take regular breaks. You have to sleep. No matter how much maybe some of you do or do not like it, you have to sleep. And that is a break that's built in by nature into each and every one of us. But we have to breathe. There's breaks built into our lives all the time, but I say specifically, make sure you take regular breaks. Things like vacations are good and all of those things that feed into this. I won't fill you in with all the ideas, but make sure you take time every once in a while to just stop. A day off, a few days off. Those are good physical answers, and those are necessary. Because you are never going to continue unless you learn to realize that you cannot continually continue. Two foresters or lumberjacks were competing against one another to see who could chop down the most trees in a day. One of them was significantly younger than the other. He was younger, he was a little less experienced, and the other had been doing this for quite some time. So the day of the competition, the young man knew he was stronger, he was faster, he had more stamina, and he woke up early in the day, and he went out, and for 8 straight hours, without taking a break, he chopped, and he chopped, and he chopped, and he chopped, and by the end of the day, taking no breaks, obviously this is a hypothetical story, he cut down 25 trees. And he was so proud of himself. He thought, there is no way that older guy. I mean, I worked so hard. I mean, he's older. I'm young. I worked hard. I was sweating. I was pounding. I never stopped. And yet, I saw him for 10 minutes out of every hour stop and take a break. I won, hands down, no doubt. So he went up to the older guy and he asked him, he said, all right, how'd you do? And the older guy just pretty nonchalantly said, well, I did all right. And the younger guy said, well, how many trees did you chop down? And he said, 40. And the younger guy just said, there's no way. He said, how could you possibly have done almost 2 times as many trees as I did? I never stopped. I watched you stop 10 minutes out of every hour. How did you possibly get more done than I did? And this is what the man said to him at the end of that moment. He said, first of all, He said, I understand your question. You were working hard, you were sweating, you were grunting, and you were groaning. But every hour I sat down for 10 minutes, he said, I did 2 things. He said, first of all, I recovered. I rested. Secondly, I sharpened my axe. You were working hard, but you were working with dull equipment. When we don't stop every once in a while, we may work hard, but we work with, and no offense, we work with dull equipment. We must take regular breaks. This is a practical way to continue the practice of rest in your life. And then the final one, it's maybe a little bit of a foregone conclusion. Continue to follow him. Don't get your eyes off of Christ. Because these are a couple practical ways. These are some thoughts I could think of to try to help. Some things that have helped me and some that I've gleaned from others along the way. But ultimately, if you'll just fix your eyes on Christ, you will find rest for your soul. No matter what's going on around you. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter how the next year looks or how the next few years look, or no matter what the doctor's report is, no matter what the test result comes back as, no matter what, if you follow him, you'll find rest. True rest is a divine activity. The words rest and activity may seem to contradict. But in God's plan, the two are actually accomplished together. You see, when we rest in God, he works in and through us. And that is what brings rest to our souls. I encourage you right where you're at tonight to bow your head and close your eyes. God has brought us to the end of this message and this service. And I have prayed, and I am praying now, even as I speak, that this has been a help to you. I don't know what you're facing. I don't even know who you are. I could guess maybe of some who may be watching tonight, but I'll never know. And that's certainly not even important. I've been glad to be a vessel, a channel for truth. But tonight, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, right there in your home or wherever you are, do you need rest tonight? Have you been laboring feverishly, anxious, worried, without strength, weary, faint? That's what our life can produce. But Christ offers you something more. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for unto your souls. Come, take, learn, and find." That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. Tonight I'm giving you time as I'm speaking to seek the rest that Christ offers. Tonight I challenge you, receive the gift. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, that's the gift from where all the rest flows. You must accept Him as the only satisfactory payment for your sins so you can have an eternal relationship that will bring you to heaven when you die. Receive the gift. Run with patience. As you live this life, realize you're not in control. And then, as you come to the very end of all that we've looked at today, you must continue to just build some practices in your life that will feed you, that you can come and you can walk with Christ. You can know Him more. And you can find in Him the help and peace and rest that you need. We'll pray, and then I'll give just a couple closing remarks, and then we'll see you online for our Tuesday service in just a couple days. Father, thank you for this truth and for this day. I thank you for the rest you've given me in my life. Lord, I don't always live right how I should in this regard. But I thank you for the reminder that you've given me through it. And Lord, I pray for our church family and anybody else who may be watching tonight. I pray that they would find rest in Christ alone. Salvation through your blood and help as they live this life with you. Lord, give us rest. And then help us to be a people of rest so that a restless world can find rest in Christ through our testimonies as we live. And they wonder how we can take it. And we point them to the one who brings us through. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.